Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning, May 19th. And at least here at my house, my prediction for this morning was incorrect. And I think the ground temperature got a little too low last night. But I thought this morning would be the morning when we would come out in our yard and just see cicadas everywhere. But we have a few cicadas climbing up the huge oak tree in our front yard. A few empty shells there from where they've molted. By the way, if you follow my wife on Instagram or I think on Facebook too, you can see her photo and video journaling of the molting of the cicada taken yesterday. It was a little homeschool science lesson impromptu as they happened to see a cicada crawling up the side of the oak tree, and then it stops and it molts. You know, those shells are left behind because they emerge from that with their wings and everything. Anyway, it's pretty cool. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can check it out. But they're creepy looking when they first come out of their shell. I'm just saying that. That's really kind of, I think they're kind of neat looking when they're, you know, get dark again. But when they first come out of their shell and they're that sort of pale yellow orange color, they're kind of creepy looking. Anyway, Psalm 50 is on tap for this morning. And Psalm 50 is almost unique in the Psalms in terms of what kind of psalm it is. It's not a prayer or praise or lament or a thanksgiving psalm or really a kingship psalm properly or a hymn of creation. It is a covenant lawsuit, a covenantal judgment psalm, which we see covenant lawsuits and covenantal judgments much more in the prophets. So it reads almost like something that you would see in one of the prophets. And it is from God, God coming forth and speaking to his people. And so that's kind of unique in the Psalms. It's very powerful and very challenging and something that we all need to hear. So let's pray and then we'll dig into Psalm 50 together. Heavenly Father, we are yours because you have made us yours. You have called us, you have adopted us, you have redeemed us, you have forgiven us, you've cleansed us, and you are growing us. We pray that you would grow us today through Psalm 50. As you write it on our hearts by your Holy Spirit, may we hear what you have to say to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 50 is a psalm of Asaph. So we're pretty much doing mostly psalms of Asaph from here on out. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So Psalm 50 begins with a summons, and it ends with a threat and a promise. And in between, God actually addresses two different groups of people among his covenant people of Israel. So, first we're introduced to God, the mighty one God, El Elohim. It's a double pronouncement of God, of his strength. We've said before, Elohim is the word that's usually translated God, and it refers to God's might and God's power. And here we have a doubling of it. El Elohim, the mighty one God, who is the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant Lord. So the covenant Lord who's made covenant with his people Israel, and Israel has entered into covenant with him, they are his people, and he is their Lord, their covenant Lord, but he's also the mighty one. He's God Almighty. He speaks. Now, he summons witnesses. He summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Okay? He calls to the heavens above and to the earth. These are his witnesses. He's calling the sun and the heavens and the earth to witness. As he comes forth and he summons his people to be gathered before him to be judged. Like I said, this is fairly unique among the Psalms. This is the kind of language we're used to seeing in the prophets. But God is summoning his people to judge them. Notice what he calls them. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Those who believe in me and those who are my people by sacrifice. And the heavens declare, the heavens testify their witness that God is righteous and that he is judge. So the heavens and the earth have been called as witnesses, and God's people have been summoned and put in the dock, as it were, as the accused. Now there are two different people, groups within Israel that God addresses. There are those who are truly his people, but whose worship of him has become misguided. And then there are those who are among his people, but are not truly his people at all. And he addresses them as the wicked. So first it's hear, O my people, in verse 7. And then in verse 16 it's going to be, but to the wicked. So what does God say to his people? Well, he says, I'm not rebuking you because of your sacrifices. It'd be easier for God's people to say, oh, God's mad at us because we haven't brought him enough sacrifice. God's mad at us because we haven't done enough for him. God is never mad at you because you haven't done enough for him. And even here, he's not really mad at his people. That would be the wrong way to say it. He is correcting them, disciplining them as a loving father who's correcting them because their whole approach to worship is poisonous. It's poisoned by a wrong thinking of who God is. Both God's true people and the wicked are guilty of reshaping God according to their own imaginations and in their own image. For this first group, for the faithful ones, they think that God needs something from them. They think that when they bring their bulls and their goats and their beasts and their birds, that they're actually giving God something, so that God is better off at the end of the transaction. You know that God doesn't need anything from you? That's what he's saying. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. It's absurd to even think of God being hungry. But it's like, even if I were, even if hypothetically I could be hungry, I'm not going to tell you, because the world and all of its fullness are mine. Besides, do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? See, they think they're really giving God something. Sometimes we do this. We put money in the offering plate, or we give online to the church, or we, you know, volunteer to go on a missions trip, or we come early and set up for church, or we stay after to help clean up, or we serve as an usher or a greeter, and we think, oh, I'm giving God something. Now God has, I sort of put God in my debt, right? I'm going to give him one, and maybe he'll give me one back later. That's poisonous thinking about God. God gives us everything. Everything we have comes from him. And whatever opportunities we have to serve him and to give back to him doesn't enrich God. It enriches us. Like, we're the ones who really benefit from our service to the Lord. Yes, the kingdom of God is advanced through the works of his people. But if God's Spirit calls you and uses you as a part of advancing his kingdom, you are the one who benefits. You are the one who's blessed. So what does God really want from us? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Lord. God wants two things here. Give thanks to him, realizing he's the source of everything. And if you make a commitment, follow through on it. Be true to your word. Because that's reflecting the character of God in our lives. God makes promises and he keeps every one of them. If we make promises, we should keep every one of them. But to God, what we should be giving is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We should just be giving him thanks. Because everything we have comes from him, and we can't give him anything that would enrich him. And then he invites us, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So we need to stop humanizing God and stop thinking that somehow we're putting God in our debt, or we're giving him something so that he would owe us back. No, he has it all. He gives it all freely out of love to us. And when we offer it back to him, it's just a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now to the wicked. The sad truth is there are people among the people of God, and there always have been, and there always will be until Jesus comes again. Until the consummation and the perfection of the church in the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, there will always be the wicked among the people of God. And all attempts that people have made to try to purify the church and to get rid of everybody who's not a real redeemed born-again believer has had disastrous consequences, because it can't be done, because we don't know hearts. We don't know someone's heart. We don't know if they're a sincere believer just struggling with sin, or if they are a wicked hypocrite. God knows, though. And God wants his people to know that he knows. So to the wicked among the people of God, he says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline. You cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have not been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Look at that line down in verse 21. You thought that I was one like yourself. Again, trying to reshape God in our own image. But here it's the wicked. Those who hate discipline, those who reject God's word, and those who rejoice in wrongdoing. If you reject discipline, you reject God's word, and instead you rejoice in wrongdoing. We all sin, right? But if you sin and you hate your sin, if you sin, as it were, against your own heart and it grieves you, then you're truly a child of God. But if you sin and you rejoice in your sin, if you sin and you give free rein to your sin, If you sin and you think, God doesn't care, what does it really matter? And you hate discipline, you hate the word of God, then you're not a child of God. You're a hypocrite. And you need to repent and truly trust in Jesus. That's the deal. I mean, these are both groups of people that are within the covenant people of God. They are among Israel. But not all those who are of Israel are truly Israel. But only those who are children of the promise, only those who truly believe. So to the one group, there is a call to rethink how we approach our worship. And to the other group, there's a call to repent. And this final threat, mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. That's a sobering thing. If we think we can mock God, if we think we can just reject and forget God, God will tear us to bits in judgment. Because we will stand before him at the end of all things. And we will either be dearly loved, adopted, redeemed, forgiven children of God, or we will be shown to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And we will be condemned forever. I hope and I pray that each one of us are in that first category, right? That God is truly our Father. We may get messed up in our thinking about worship sometimes. We may get self-serving at times. We may get things upside down at times. And we need to repent and we need to offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But we also need to beware of those who are among God's people who fit into that second category, who are the wicked hypocrites. How does he end? With a great promise. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God, the Yeshua of God. Amen. God's looking for thanksgiving, and God's looking for a sincere desire, a sincere heartfelt desire to conform to his word and to his discipline. And then he will deliver us, and he will show us his salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice at your love for us, and we tremble at your holiness, because it's beautiful and powerful and compelling. May that trembling of our hearts at your holiness draw us closer to you in thanksgiving that you who are holy, 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 are the one who has redeemed us and forgiven us and cleansed us of all of our sin. Father, help us to worship you rightly, not thinking that we're giving you something, but thanksgiving for all that you've given us. May we be those whose hearts are yours. And when we call upon you in the day of trouble, will you hear us and deliver us? Will you continue to show us more and more of Jesus, who is the salvation of our God? It's in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for joining me for Psalm 50 this morning. We're going to recircle together on Friday morning for Psalm 64. Which is not a Psalm of Asaph, and then we'll be back into the rest of the Psalms of Asaph, which are in the 70s and 80s, for the rest of our times together in the Psalms. Have a blessed day in the Lord.